Big, big, big day here in the jungle. What's going on? Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. It's going to be a really good show today. Let's get at it. We're broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. All right, so why is it so big? I'll lay it out for you. We're going back-to-back in hour number one, but I'd break format for the right telephone call. That phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Follow me on Instagram, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, the show looks like this. Coming up next segment, the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury. Right out of the box, we will have him on in about 15 minutes. We chase that with a conversation with the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, George McPhee. Have not heard that sounder in a few days. That's always good to hear. Second hour's open. Third hour, LA Chargers running back Melvin Gordon. So a huge day in the jungle. Cliff Kingsbury coming up next. George McPhee later on this hour. Melvin Gordon in hour number three. Second hour is wide open. Great matchups in the NFL this weekend. And some NBA. Man, it's good. So come on in and get some. You've got your phone number. Adam Hawk working his second day in a row. Good job, Hawk. He is screening out the telephone calls. You get through him to get to me. Start dialing. That was nice, Alvy. I like the way that sounded. Got a good job and a good effort. And you chased it with a squawk. There you go. All right, let me start first with the news involving Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray. The Heisman Trophy winner is expected to enter the NFL draft. Now, not exactly breaking news, right? Not exactly breaking news that the Heisman Trophy winner is going to enter the NFL draft. Except Kyler Murray is not normal. In fact, there's nothing about this guy that's not freaky. And the fact that he is expected to enter the NFL draft is news because the original plan was for him to join the Oakland A's after the season. However, the San Francisco Chronicle dropped this bombshell last night. The A's expect Murray to enter the NFL draft. Remember, he was the ninth pick in last year's MLB draft. And as part of that deal, he got a $4.66 million signing bonus with the A's. Now, they allowed him to go back to Oklahoma to play quarterback for a year, and then the thought process was he would join the organization this February. But, according to the report, the A's now expect him to enter the NFL draft. Now, keep this in mind. That does not mean that he's a lock to give up baseball and play football instead. However, it does increase the chances that he might do that. I mean, it was not that long ago that that was not even a possibility. It was not that long ago that the plan was he would play for the A's in the outfield in the very near future. It seemed pretty self-evident. So what changed? What changed? I don't know, about 4,361 things. The number of yards he passed for this season. Add in the more than 1,000 yards rushing, the 54 combined touchdowns, the Heisman Trophy, some of those freakish highlights. And then you can see why NFL teams might be interested in Kyler Murray. And you can see why Kyler Murray might be interested in the NFL. Once again, expressing interest in the NFL does not mean this guy's going to walk away from baseball. It simply means he's going to explore his options. And he should. Everybody in that position should. The rubber will start to meet the road in February when he's got to report to A's training camp. And then he would need to be in Arizona for the NFL Combine, which is happening in Indy. Again, even that does not mean that he can't do both. According to a late addition to the report, the A's might actually allow him to leave camp to attend the Combine. So, maybe they can kick the can a little further down the road. But eventually, somebody somewhere is going to have to make a decision. And that somebody, of course, is Murray himself. And that's a hell of a decision, right? That is one hell of a decision to have to make. The kind of decision we'd all love to make. Would you rather play pro football or would you rather play Major League Baseball? Now, on the surface, on the outside looking in, it would seem like that's a pretty easy decision to make. Would you rather play a sport where you get hammered repeatedly every single day? Or would you rather play a sport where you rarely ever take physical contact? But then again, it's not that straightforward. Especially if you're a guy who loves football. especially in football, if you're a quarterback. Because if you're a quarterback in football, then it's all on you. You're involved in everything. You're the leader. You've got all the responsibility. All eyes are on you. Every offensive play starts with you. In baseball, you step to the plate 3, 4, maybe 5 times a game. Maybe you've got a few balls hit your way. Totally different deal. Totally different feel. And that's just on the field. If this guy goes into the NFL, it's charter flights, 5-star hotels, enormous stadiums every week. If he goes the baseball route, there are bus rides through Iowa, Burlington, Cedar Rapids, Clinton. I want to hear from the Quad Cities. Are there any Lumber King fans out there? Hey, listen, I'm not saying that minor league baseball is not awesome. Minor league baseball is the best. And I would be the first to say that while I did love my time on South Beach at the end of the year, I probably would have enjoyed West Michigan just as much. In fact, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between the two. If you go with baseball, instead of playing the Steelers, Cowboys, you're getting the Frisco Rough Riders, the Amarillo Sod Poodles. And then you got the finances, right? The financial standpoint. He does have $4.66 mil with the A's in his back pocket. He'd stand to make more money if he goes in the first round of the NFL draft. But that's in the first deal. Baseball is not about the first deal. Baseball is about the next deal. Baseball is about guaranteed money. Baseball is about the long-term deals. Check this as an example. Do you remember that record-setting $134 million contract? The extension that Aaron Rodgers signed. $134 mil. Remember that? A record setter. Hell, Bryce Harper would not step off a curb for that amount of money. If a team tried to offer Bryce Harper the Aaron Rodgers contract, he'd go John Papelbon on them. Rodgers will reportedly get more than $100 mil guaranteed. You know who else gets reportedly more than $100 million guaranteed? Justin Upton, Charlie Blackman. I mean, nice players, really good players, but not exactly the Aaron Rodgers of Major League Baseball. When everybody in football was freaking out about that Rodgers deal, Kevin Brown, remember that guy? Kevin Brown got similar money in baseball nearly 20 years ago. Roger Clemens made $28 million in a season in 2007. And you don't have to be Roger Clemens. Andre Ethier was making $17 million per year. Don't get me wrong. Again, a nice player, but not exactly a Hall of Famer, and he's not running the risk of CTE to get it. But then again, maybe it's not about the money. Maybe it's not only about the money. Maybe Kyler Murray just loves football more. And if he does, nothing but respect. I couldn't respect it more. I just know. I've had former football players on my show who've told me they would tell their sons to play baseball and leave football. Not all of them, but I certainly have had football players who have told me that. Kyler Murray might go the opposite route. Again, I would never tell this guy what to do. I don't want him telling me what to do. I would not tell Kyler Murray what to do. I would never tell him what not to do. He's got an amazing choice in front of him. The kind of choice that comes along once every few decades. His body, his brain. But it seems to me that is one hell of a risk. One hell of a risk. 1-800-636-8686. If you want, jump in. I'm not going to tell him what to do, but you can. What would you do? What should he do? What would you do? All right, in addition, all the matchups over the weekend. Man, there's some good matchups. I mentioned yesterday on the program, I could actually make an argument for taking every road dog in the NFL this weekend. Not saying I will. I am saying I can make that argument. Love the matchups. Rams and Cowboys. Chargers and Patriots. Chiefs, Colts. I want to get into all this. Also, how about Todd Gurley shooting his shot? What a stud. Man, right when I thought that I couldn't love Todd Gurley any more than I do, this guy's great. Shot his shot. You've probably seen that story. In fact, I know you've seen that story because you tried to get me to talk about one aspect of that story before it was a story, but that was yesterday. You know, you wanted to add another member to the so-called RAF family. The RAF family does not exist. I cannot add members to a family that does not exist. Raff, not rat, Raff. You have rat, R-A-T-T. You have Raff, R-A-F-F. Dear Rome, Kyler should make the right decision by choosing the NFL. He cannot market himself to MLB. Signed, Rob Manfred, saying that Mike Trout needs to market himself. John in Huntington Beach. Yeah, I don't know, Rob. What does Mike do? Mike comes to work every single day, keeps his mouth shut, puts up crazy numbers, Hall of Fame numbers, best ever numbers. What more can the guy do? Has time for kids, like every kid, plays catch with kids before the game, after the game, signs everything. Yeah, I don't know, though. Old Mikey's not doing enough to market himself. Oh, okay, Rob. John at Huntington Beach. Hey, Rome, nothing wrong with playing a sport and getting hammered every day. Signed, Wade Boggs. Oh, I see what you did there, Lee. Old school. There was actually a jungle beef between me and Wade Boggs way back in the day when he was trying to determine where his 3,000th hit was going to land and that he could do it at home. And not with the Red Sox, mind you. Not with the Red Sox. He didn't like that for some reason. Dear Jimothy, hey, it's fine, Wade, as long as you're not putting yourself or your stats ahead of the team. Dear Jimothy, I can't understand why Kyler Murray would not want to play Major League Baseball. Signed, 162 games, never-ending travel, that dump in Oakland, and constantly battling summertime jock itch. KC, New Hampshire, handling the topic with the kind of respect that I thought y'all would. He's got a $4.66 million signing bonus. It's his money. If he goes to the NFL, he's got to give that money back. And he's got an opportunity to play Major League Baseball, a top 10 pick overall. In the NFL, he'd probably be a first-round pick, maybe a late first-round pick. But he wouldn't have to ride those buses. And he's a Heisman Trophy winner. Just maybe. You know, it seems like a no-brainer. Why would you subject yourself to that kind of physical abuse if you don't have to? I don't know. Maybe the guy likes football better. Maybe he likes football better. Maybe he'd rather be a quarterback. If that's the case, I've got nothing but respect. However, it seems like it would come with a lot of risk. And one more tweet. Dave and KC, dearest Jimothy, Kyler Murray foregoing $4 million in guaranteed money from the Oakland A's to enter the NFL draft seems like a great idea. After all of us 5'10" quarterbacks have great NFL careers. Regards, Johnny Football. All right, two things there. That's true, too. 5'10". Super freaky athlete. Shorter quarterbacks are faring well. But don't compare this guy to Johnny Football. And don't compare anybody to Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel obviously was not ready for it. I mean, all the same things were being said about Baker Mayfield. Yeah, hot-tempered, bad attitude, too short. Yeah, look at him right now. When we come back, Cliff Kingsbury joins me. Stay tuned. That's next. Clones, Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of live studio classes right into your home anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine. With the Peloton bike, it is always the perfect weather to sweat. And with up to 14 live rides every single day and over 10,000 more on demand, nothing will ever get between you and your workout. Peloton features live cycling classes streaming right to your home every day, featuring real-time motivation from world-class instructors. So whether it's a monthly challenge to meet your goals or a training program for your next race or just setting a new personal best, the Peloton bike will make you want to show up and keep climbing the live leaderboard year-round. On average, Peloton members are riding their bikes more and more every year. They're crushing their personal records along the way. I've already got a ride scheduled for later on this afternoon on mine. Learn more about the Peloton bike. Go to onepeloton.com or visit your local showroom. I've done both. Go to onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you on a busy Thursday. Great first hour. Let's not waste any time with it. We are joined right now by the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. He was introduced as Cardinals head coach yesterday. Spent six seasons as Texas Tech head coach. Arizona was 3-13 last season. They hold the first pick overall in this year's draft. Cliff Kingsbury is my guest. Cliff, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So let me first ask you, how does it feel to hear yourself introduced as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and what have the last few days been like for you, Cliff?
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Such a huge honor to be a part of this organization, be a part of this community, just excited to get to work. But it's been fast and furious trying to put a staff together and working with Steve Keim here, our general manager, to try and come up with the best guys possible to get this thing going in the right direction.
We're talking to Cliff Kingsbury. You know, there's only 32 NFL head coaching jobs, so any head coaching opportunity is going to be a great one. What was it, though, about this particular opportunity that appealed to you the most?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's a first-class organization, always has been. When you look at the Bidwell family, how they operate, their synergy with the community, and then Steve Keim, one of the best in the business at general manager, has really made me feel comfortable and helped me in this process so far. And then the football aspect, you know, you have a young quarterback who we think is very talented on his rookie deal. You have lots of cap space, and then you have the number one pick in the draft. So there's a lot of things that we think can help flip this thing pretty quickly.
So, Cliff, when you look at that young quarterback, Josh Rosen, when you look at him, what do you see?
Yeah, incredible arm talent. You know, he's very cerebral, very smart young man, tough. You watch the end of this year, you know, the O-line got beat up some, and he was taking some shots, continued to get up, never complained, continued to fight. So there's some real strong building blocks that he has to be a really good player in this league, and I'm just excited to start working with him.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you mention how cerebral he is. You know how the draft evaluation process is, right? Everybody's looking for every possible negative thing they can say about a prospect. And one of the knocks on Rosen was that he's really, really smart, and he wants to know the thinking behind everything that goes into an offense. For some reason, people thought that was a bad thing. As a former quarterback yourself, are you at all concerned about that, or is that a positive in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's a positive. You know, the more he wants to learn, the more film he wants to watch, the more he wants to understand the schemes and the offense, I think can only help. You know, there'll be a point where it's like, all right, Josh, just run the play, I'm sure. But, you know, that I think that's exciting to work with a young man who has that type of passion for learning and truly understanding the game.
Cliff Kingsbury is my guest. You mentioned the schemes. You know, when you look at the NFL for a long time, it seemed like they rejected some of your schemes that were used in college, and now a lot of teams are coming around to it, and they're embracing that style of play. What do you think when you see that, and how much has the pro game changed in the last few years?
Yeah, I think conceptually you're seeing more and more of some of the college offense, if you will, the spread-type mentality, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, in the NFL now, you have limited time in the offseason with those young quarterbacks. If you're going to draft a guy who played in a system like that, you know, it only makes sense to do things in this league that he's comfortable with and that he's done for a number of years and has had success in, and that's really why you drafted him. So I think you see some of it going that way, and some of those teams are really having some success at this level.
So you were a great quarterback, and then you coached some other great quarterbacks, from Case Keenum to Johnny Manziel to Baker Mayfield to Davis Webb, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, aside from the obvious physical talent, is there something that all those guys have in common that makes them great?
Yeah, I think just the desire to be great. They're all ultra-competitive and all wanted to be great players. And so I was fortunate to be around guys with that mentality that worked hard, got there early, stayed late, and then had tremendous ability on top of it. So it was a great combination.
Well, Cliff, you guys got the first pick in the draft. So a few months back, you had really high praise for Kyler Murray, saying that if you had the first pick overall, you would take him. Now, of course, that was a very different time. A lot has changed since then. Now you're the Cardinals head coach. What did you see, though, in that or in him at that time that made you feel that way?
Yeah, I'm not sure he's actually declared yet officially, and so we're not supposed to comment on those prospects. But that's a young man, you know, I watched all through his high school career and have known well and just think the world of.
Cliff Kingsbury, my guest. I can respect it. Listen, when you were let go by Texas Tech, knowing how much you care for that school, the program, your players, it was your alma mater, that could not have been an easy time. Like, if you go back to that moment, where were you mentally and emotionally at that point? What kind of thoughts were you having?
Yeah, I mean, more just you're sad to leave those players. Those are young men who I think the world of, came out there and signed on to play with me and represent that university and gave me everything that they had. So really the whole thought process is with them and hoping that they're going to be okay and you know, that we're going to bring in a new coach at Texas Tech and treat them the right way and do things the right way, and it looks like they did.
Yeah, Cliff, as you know, I broadcast out of Southern California, and I know there were a lot of USC fans who were really fired up when you were named offensive coordinator. Obviously, a much better opportunity came along for you. What do you say to Trojan fans who might be a little bent out of shape, maybe feel a little bit betrayed or a little bit upset about how this all went down.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, obviously. That was never my intention, and I think the world of that university. I think the world of Coach Helton, the job he's going to do there. You know, I turned down a bunch of opportunities to be a Trojan and go to USC because of, you know, the great program and what I knew we could do there. They're loaded with talent. You know, they've built something really special. We're going to have a great year. And, you know, this came up, and it was just one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that I couldn't pass up. But I really enjoyed my time there, and we'll be pulling for them moving forward.
We're talking to Cliff Kingsbury for a couple of more moments. You know, as you mentioned, you're trying to get that staff together right now. As you look at what's ahead of you, obviously you're not just going to coach the offense, you're going to run that entire team. What's your top priority right now that you're there and you're doing the work?
Yeah, right now, you know, we're interviewing defensive coordinators, and I think finding a veteran defensive coordinator who's been in the league, has experience, can really be the head coach of the defense is something we're shooting for. And excited about how the interviews have gone. We've really got to talk to some great people and ready to get that rolling.
All right, so last thought. I want to go back a little bit. Early on in your coaching career, when you were at Houston, Eric Morris, who was a graduate assistant, shared a place with you. He said you'd be up at 4 o'clock in the morning pouring cereal so you can get to the office by 4:30. Morris, who's now a head coach himself, said that he'd go Frosted Flakes or Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I got to know, Cliff, back in the day, what were you eating? What did you start your day with?
That was like some cashew brand healthy cereal. I forgot what it was called, but I think that's the brand. It's Kashi. It's kind of like a granola mix, healthy type stuff.
Kashi. I know that stuff.
Kashi, yeah.
Right? Kashi. Yeah. Not surprised.
Got to kind of power it down.
Got to knock it down. All right, so Arizona's got their new man. He's the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury, my guest. Cliff, appreciate you coming in so fast. Nice to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
You too. Cliff, good talking to you. Cliff Kingsbury. All right, so Arizona's got their head coach. Let me thank my man Mark Dalton. Mark Dalton and Chris Melvin. It's good to have Arizona Cardinal back in the fold. They are a great jungle team. You know, I said it yesterday. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Cliff. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Mark. I said yesterday, I like that hire. You know, I can't guarantee anything. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. Spoiler alert, there is no other Sean McVay. But NFL teams are looking for a guy like that. Somebody young, somebody who's got that energy, somebody who's got that offensive mindset, somebody can bring something new to it. I understand that. Cliff Kingsbury has been around a lot of really good quarterbacks, helped develop a lot of really good quarterbacks. They have a really good young quarterback who they think is their franchise quarterback. They need somebody to come in and develop that player and also build the thing out. I love the hire. That's not a safe hire. That's not the conservative hire. That's why I like it. It took some balls. It's a big swing. It's a big gamble. I like it a lot. Could be the guy to bring the juice back there. And I like what he said about the defense coordinator. They're looking for a veteran defensive coordinator. Something else that Sean McVay did. Got himself a veteran defensive coordinator. All right, so we talked about it at length yesterday. If you want to react right now, do you like that hire or not? Hey, where are the Cardinal fans? I heard from some Texas Tech fans. Even a USC fan or two yesterday. Where are the Arizona Cardinal fans? 1-800-636-8686. You knew about the hire. You knew about the guy. You just heard him on the program. Do you like what you heard? Sean Payton's a boss. You see this guy roll 225 Gurin? You want this? Win the Super Bowl. That was an unbelievable move. I may get to that today. If not today, then tomorrow. Todd Gurley shooting his shot. Awesome story. But when we come back, we're talking hockey. George McPhee. I mentioned back-to-back in hour number one. Second hour is wide open. Melvin Gordon in the third hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Out quickly on a Thursday. It's a big day. I knew it. Knew it when I rolled out of the rack. Felt great about it. Big first hour. Cliff Kingsbury already in. Again, my thanks to him and the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to change up and talk some Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Essentially picking up where they left off. Had some injuries earlier this year, but they are playing great hockey right now. We are efforting their GM. We'll turn him around quickly. George McPhee. In the meantime, phone lines are open. Do not waste the opportunity. January is an amazing month. NFL playoffs, NBA in full swing, NHL. 1-800-636-8686. Pick up the phone, hit us up. All right, telephone calls coming up. Melvin Gordon of the Chargers in hour number three, ahead of that huge showdown with Patriots in Foxborough. But as promised, we are joined by the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights. He was the NHL General Manager of the Year last season. Led Vegas to the Western Conference title last season. Vegas, second in the Pacific Division right now, and they've got a big one at home tonight against San Jose. George McPhee is my guest. George, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thank you.
Great to visit with you, George. All right, so the team beat the Rangers 4-2 on Tuesday night. That's your seventh straight game. You win. It's a game against the Rangers, though, George, a team that had been struggling. So it might have been kind of easy for your guys to overlook them and look ahead to tonight's game against San Jose. That's not what they did. How'd you feel about the way your guys came out and took care of business?
Well, certainly happy with the win. Our coach has done a great job of keeping our guys focused. We've been playing really hard the last couple of months. We got off to a slow start, and we've been pretty effective lately. Certainly didn't want to look past the Rangers. They weren't playing well, and we didn't. And we're really looking forward to the game tonight because San Jose's they've played very well all season long. It's a real good team.
Vegas at home against San Jose tonight. George, Tuesday night was Marc-Andre Fleury's 429th career win, which means he's closing in on Jacques Plante for eighth all time. Obviously, some really elite company. What did you see in Fleury when you brought him in, and what has he meant to your organization?
Well, we thought a couple of things, Jim, that we our goaltending coach was confident enough to think that he could have him play better here than he was in Pittsburgh, that he could have him play the best hockey of his career here. And, you know, I guess we agree with him at this point because he's been stellar for us. We needed, you know, every team needs that kind of goaltending. But what we really liked was the other element that he brings, and that's the leadership. He's our hardest working player. He's always available to the media. He's always available to the fans, has time for everyone, enjoys what he's doing, enjoys practicing, enjoys playing, and just loves the game and loves being around the people in the game. And it's been fantastic for the rest of our team to have that kind of leadership.
George McPhee joining us, no doubt. Now, you've dealt with some injuries and some roster challenges that were kind of tough at the start of the year, but you're 19-4-3 since the middle of November. What do you make of the role that the team is on right now and the way everybody has kind of rallied and taken on those challenges?
Well, you know, we got Nate Schmidt back. I think we were 8-11-1 without him, and he came back, and we've been real good since. And, you know, we had some other players out at the start of the year, Alex Tuck and Stasny missed 30 games, and we've been patching it together. We've hit another rough patch with injuries right now. We seem to lose a guy every game. We're down five players right now, but I guess it's the strength of our team. We've always found a way to play well. And so, again, it's a big one tonight. And, you know, we've got some guys that are ready to go, and we'll see what happens.
You know, what about that, George? It is a big one tonight. You've got San Jose in your place. Look, every single game is important, but when you look at how competitive it is at the top of the Pacific Division, does this one feel like it's got a little extra in it?
It does. You know, we're certainly we're aware of them. They're aware of us. We know they've been playing great all year. They know we've been coming on. And these are the kind of games that we all look forward to. You know, how do we measure up? How do they measure up? Coaches, managers, players, fans look forward to it.
George McPhee joining us. We're talking Vegas hockey. You know, George, it would have been easy for the year, after the year you had last year, for things to maybe fall apart this year. And I say that because you look at teams historically that make a deep playoff run. You're no longer sneaking up on anybody. Now you've got a target on your back. How did you go about preparing for that challenge?
Well, as you know, when you get to the finals, everybody plays you harder the next year. And if you can match the intensity, it's actually good for your team because you develop more. It wasn't an easy summer for us. We had three free agents that moved on, and we had to replace those positions. And we did with Stasny and Holden and the big trade for Pacioretty. And they've been good for us. So, you know, we did the best we could, and we had kept our fingers crossed, and it's worked out so far. And we were, trying to, in terms of being better and meeting the challenge this year, we were looking for growth from within, from a Nate Schmidt, from an Alex Tuck, from Shea Theodore, from all of these young guys. You know, how much more can you grow? How much better can you be? And we've had a lot of players, especially on our fourth line with a not so young player in Ryan Reeves. He's got 8 goals for us, and Carrier's got 8 goals for us. So we've had a lot of guys grow in different ways for us. And sometimes, what you're looking for is right under your nose. You just have to. You just have to give it a chance.
George McPhee joining us, Vegas Golden Knights GM. Clearly, you've got a vision and a philosophy. And one of the things you've talked about is what as opposed to when, as is the focus is on the what, winning the Stanley Cup, but not when you win the Stanley Cup. Can you lay that out for me? What do you mean by that? And then how does that impact your approach on day-to-day, week-to-week basis?
Well, actually, took that philosophy from Warren Buffett, who was talking about timing the market. You can't time the market, when to get in, when to get out. You know, he said all you can do is buy good stocks, and that ultimately, if they're good fundamentally, if it's a good company, it's going to do well. And so I sort of had the same philosophy. We'll just focus on what we're doing and try to do the best things we can in every single department in this company and every decision that we make, and we'll be a good team. And if you can consistently be a good team, one of those days you sort of knock the door down and you win a cup. And so that's how we've approached it, and we'll continue to approach it.
Yeah, of course, why wouldn't you take philosophy like that from Warren Buffett?
Yeah, he's not bad.
He's not bad, right? He's not bad, George. I wonder about this. Have you ever taken any ideas or any philosophy from an equally impressive guy, Grant Napier? Big friend of the jungle. I know the two of you were roommates in Bowling Green. Grant likes to say that the two of you are best friends. He wants to make sure that you know that he's going to send you a banana shake for coming through the jungle. About Napes. Have you ever ripped any of his philosophies?
Well, I'm glad you brought his name up, because I know you've been a great friend to him, and you've had him doing your show, and I know he was thrilled when that first started happening. And he has been one of my very best friends for a lifetime. We met in college. We still correspond. We still talk regularly. And I think the world of him. He's a really good man, and I'm glad you gave him a chance with your show. And these are the simple pleasures in life, having friends like that.
Man, it's so great. It's so great to have friends. You go through a time like that, and you remember what it was like when you got your start. George, what's the story behind the banana shake?
it's a long story, and it was always a reward between the two of us when someone did something well. We'd go get a banana shake.
George McPhee, you can leave it at that. Listen, the wild thing about this, George, I mean, Grant is a pro's pro. You're a pro's pro. I like to think that I'm a pro's pro, but some really weird things happen on this show on occasion. As an example, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but if you've got 1 minute for a quick story. So Grant comes in and he approaches this thing the way he does everything. He's locked, he's loaded, he's prepared. And then one of our most famous callers ever, Brad in Corona, calls Grant and does this to him.
I mean, I'm not saying you're ugly, Grant. I'm just saying I feel sorry for the makeup people at CBS this morning. You're probably not the best canvas for an artist to paint on, if you know what I mean. These people are literally putting lipstick on a pig when you walk into the studio, Grant. Thoughts and prayers of the makeup team at CBS. Best case scenario, guys, is when you're done with him, he looks like what would happen if Ron Howard got a bunch of Botox. So this is pretty much as good as it gets. How did you land this beautiful woman, Grant? You must have $10 million in a crank the size of that microphone you're talking
about. George, can you imagine?
That's some serious abuse. it doesn't cost you anything to be nice. I could be a little nicer next time around.
Wow, it does not cost you anything to be nice. That's great. George, one last thought. Listen, Tuesday's win brought you, and I appreciate you playing along, 15-3-3 at home with that win. So there may be a day when I have somebody or anybody from your organization on and not talk about the fan support that you get. But today is not that day. That was a sport that was not supposed to be successful in Vegas. And not only has it been a success, your fan base is the envy of pretty much every other team in pro sports. Does it feel normal now, or does it still feel special?
Oh, it still feels special. Every one of our games feels like an event, feels like a playoff game. It's not just a hockey game. It's the place to be. We do lots of neat things in the arena. My favorite is the showgirls behind the glass when the other team's trying to warm up. It's a nice distraction for them. But no, it doesn't feel normal. And I was just yesterday, we're in our practice facility looking out on the ice, and hundreds of boys and girls over the last, last night for 2 or 3 hours out there playing hockey. Like all these little kids running around playing hockey. You know, I couldn't have imagined that a year and a half ago. It was sort of build it and they will come. Well, we built it, and I think we've done a real good job at the franchise in a lot of different ways. And to see all these young boys and girls playing and see all the adult leagues we have and all the excitement in Vegas, and one day we're going to have a young boy or girl playing in the NHL, and because it started here a year and a half ago.
No doubt. I remember when hockey came to Southern California, well, when 99 came to Southern California, and there was much that same feel, but not like what you have in Vegas, for sure. Vegas Golden Knights GM George McPhee joining us. He was the NHL GM of the season last year, and they've got a big game at home tonight against San Jose. George, so good to have you back. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you very much for having me, Jim. All the best.
You too, George. All the best. And he makes a great point. It does not cost anything to be nice. Remember that. It does not cost anything to be nice. I love that story. Not the one about Brad, but the one about Grant. Well, the one about Brad, of course. Grant Napier is such a pro. There's a reason why I have him come in. We don't just turn this over to anybody. And for those of you who don't really appreciate who that guy is, Grant, what he's accomplished in the business, you have no idea what he does to come into this studio to do this show. The sort of things that he's got to jump through and over, the scheduling that he's got to change up. This guy goes hard. He does everything he possibly can to get here to do that show for me because he's got his own schedule that's everybody's hectic as mine and probably more so and still finds a way to get it done. I love that he and George McPhee go way back and are still boys. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so that's hour number one. We are now open until the middle of hour number three, Chargers and Patriots. I was talking to Dan Silio this morning on 97.3 The Fan. We do that now on Thursday mornings. If you're in San Diego, check out 97.3 The Fan, FM, Dan Silio, Morning Killer. I show up on that program now Thursday mornings at 7:10, and we talked all about the Chargers. And everybody knows the numbers. Philip Rivers and the Chargers are 0-7 against Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, this thing has been beaten into the ground. I know this. I mean, what do we know? We know that they don't beat the Patriots. Not there. We know the Patriots don't lose at home this time of year in Foxborough. We know that too. But if ever it was going to happen, it's going to happen this year. I'm going to tell you something right now. Phillip Rivers is playing better right now, I think, than Tom Brady. Phillip Rivers has a better supporting cast right now than he has ever had. The Pats are not necessarily the Pats. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen this weekend. Den Lesks is in. Happy for Cliff, but we were really hoping that he'd come back to Boston where everybody knows his name. Signed Sam, Woody, Norm, and Frazier. Good one, Den Lesks. Why don't you shop that up, bro? That'll get you at least 99,000 likes and 400,000 retweets. Do that, Den Lesks. I know you need help with your shop game. Why don't you do this? Why don't you make up a shop where you've got Woody, Norm, and Frazier, and then take Cliff Kingsbury's head and superimpose it at that bar? That'll get you like 700,000 likes. You're welcome. You're welcome, Den Lesks. All right, so open phones when we come back. Todd Gurley shooting his shot. Hey, being a millionaire is great. You know what's better? Being a billionaire. Replacing the M with a B. That story's coming up and more. Already a great first hour. We talked to Cliff Kingsbury. We talked some Vegas hockey. I found a way to wedge Brad in there. Good first hour. Open phones in hour number two. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. We are coming right back.
You're in a 5-minute